SOP 265. If you started a podcast and you're saying to yourself, man, this takes a lot of time, today we're going to talk about how you can find the time to podcast.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so very much for taking the time. We're going to be talking about time today, taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and listen to me talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to producing to monetizing, all of the above. You can find me out at theschoolofpodcasting.com. You can email me, Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. The number, got your pencil ready? It's 888-563-3228. And again, our website, you can leave a comment out in our blog, is schoolofpodcasting.com. Just click on podcasts at the top of the screen. I want to thank the Electra Voice RE320. If you're new to the podcast, let me take 30 seconds of your time and say that it's new from Electra Voice, the RE320. It's a supremely versatile vocal and instrument microphone, and it's derived from the classic design of the Electra Voice RE20. The RE20 is like in every radio studio across the world. Now, the RE320's key features include the Variable D proximity control technology for tight, bold, expressive, and consistent tonal performance. It's got a humbucking coil for noiseless operation and a high-output neodymium magnet structure capsule that delivers fast and accurate transient response and pronounced high-frequency detail, which is why I love this microphone. My S's and T's are clear. And it's a dynamic microphone, not a condenser. Now, it's engineered for stellar performance in virtually any imaginable application, and the RE320 delivers excellent results when miking vocals or instruments in the studio or on stage. Now, it's designed to meet the demanding needs of, you know, a project or a pro studio operator, live and studio performers and engineers, as well as, you guessed it, podcasters and broadcasters, really at any level. The RE320 brings heritage Electra Voice technology and performance to bear into an incredible, versatile, and new microphone. Check it out at electro-voice.com/RE320. Want to thank those folks for helping make the show possible. All right, here is our topic today. How do you find the time to podcast? And when people first start podcasting, they think a 15-minute podcast takes 15 minutes. And it does take 15 minutes to record it. What they don't count is the 15 minutes it took to find the content, the 15 minutes it took to type up a quick blog post, the 15 minutes of editing and setting up and waiting for the computer to boot up and getting the kids to be quiet and finding the dog squeak toy and everything else and turning off your cell phone. And I always say, at least for an audio podcast, the 4-to-1 rule, which is for every 1 minute of podcast, multiply that by 4, and that's how long it'll take to produce that. You want to do a 1 minute podcast, it's going to take you 4 minutes. If you want to do a 15 minute podcast, plan on spending an hour. Well, what can you do to find the time to podcast? Because you're like, I like this podcasting thing, but I thought it was going to take me 15 minutes and it's taking me an hour. Well, number one, and this goes really for many things in life, not just podcasting. So even if you're not a podcaster, turn off the TV. Sorry. According to a USA Today article, the average person watches 4 hours and 35 minutes of television per day. No wonder we're obese in America, but that's a whole nother podcast. It's interesting when you examine what you watch. If you think about Snooki and the Kardashians and Bret Michaels and this thing they call the news, which is really just a commercial for other things. In the morning, everybody! Most of you can live without TV. I canceled my TV subscription 2 years ago, and I just have the internet. Now, obviously, if your podcast is about a television or a TV show, never, ever watch it live. You can always record it through some sort of DVR or even on a VHS tape. This allows you to fast forward through anything that doesn't pertain to you. This allows you to watch an hour-long television show in about 40 minutes. Number two, Target your media consumption. Now, instead of watching TV or things like that, I get most of my ideas for my podcast from my life experiences and from getting news off of blogs. For example, I'm subscribed to about 25 different blogs about podcasting. I'm subscribed to about 12 different blogs about WordPress. That's basically, so we're looking at 37 blogs for basically this podcast. When I see a headline I like, I click on it. And while when I basically go over to that blogger's site, I keep my eyes peeled for any list of blogs that they might read. And I read the article, and if it's something that I think my audience would enjoy, which basically means if I like it, then you're going to hear about it. And I go back to the Google Reader. You can find that at reader.google.com. And I edit it, and there are these things called tags. You can think of that like a label. And I have a tag set for each of my podcasts. So let's say I'm reading an article about Steve Dahl. He's this guy in Chicago. He was on the radio, and now he's going to do podcasting. He's going to charge $10 a month. So I went in, I read that article, and tagged it as SOP. And then when it comes time to podcast, you go down and you click on that label, better known as a tag in Google Reader, and I can see all the articles that are potential episodes for the School of Podcasting. So target what you're looking for. Instead of, you know, looking at everything, find the things about your topic and have that information start coming to you. Now, any job, this is number three, any job is easy with the right tool, and I've kind of mentioned Google Reader. It is right now my preferred blog reader. I use Beyond Pod on my phone to listen to podcasts with a plugin that allows me to play them much faster. This allows me to listen to two additional hours of podcasts a day. I also, in the car, listen to Stitcher because I don't have to sit there and wait for the podcast to download on that. If you want to check out Stitcher, go out to stitcher.com/Dave J. You can actually listen to this podcast on Stitcher. But I use Google Alerts to do daily searches. For topics that I'm interested in, and I used to have them emailed to me. Of course, then I had to surf through all the email. Well, and if I found an email or an article that I liked, I would then flag it in the email, and then basically I would have to check my email and my RSS reader. Well, one day I noticed that you can have your Google Alerts, and this is at alerts.google.com. I believe that's the URL for that. I believe that's it. It's usually whatever .google.com. And I noticed that you can have your alerts delivered in an RSS feed. So I set up an alert for whatever topic. It might be, podcasting for me. Or if it was for my weight loss podcast, it might be fitness tips or something like that. And I set that up in my Google Reader. And so now I have, again, targeted my media consumption. And instead of having to go to the news, you know, instead of me going to the news is now coming to me. And when I find a good one, I tag it and I move on. So Google Alerts, primarily when they first came out, were email alerts. You can actually have those set up to be an RSS feed. So now I check one place, my Google Reader, to check not only blog posts, but my Google Alerts. Now, even with targeted media, there will be some articles that just don't fit. And Google Reader notices that you've read them when you basically scroll past them. And it basically is a way of showing you what you've read and what you haven't read. And I have mine set up to show all the new stuff at the top of the list. It's easy. Now, let's say if your show, maybe it's talking about music, always be looking for RSS feeds. When you dig around on Amazon.com under new releases, in music at the bottom of the page, there's an RSS feed for that. And, it says subscribe to hot new releases, then like the little arrow and then music. And the great thing about this, while there are other RSS readers, I love that you can I can look at my Google Reader on the phone, on my Android phone. This way, no matter where I'm at, I can be working on my next episode. Why? Because I'm reading content. If I'm in a long line at the grocery store, I can be working on my next podcast. Again, the bottom line here is I'm getting the news coming to me instead of me going to the news. And instead of me searching and searching, it's now coming to me. So keep in mind, RSS feeds are more and more prevalent, and it's great to have them all coming into you. Now, the other thing you have to do is you have to have what I'm just going to call this a notepad with you at all times. Now, this might be an actual, yellow pad or whatever you want to use, but those are, number one, easily lost, easily ruined by water, ripped, things like that. My point here is, whatever you want to use, have a system in place that you have access to 24/7, so if you are somewhere and you see or hear something that you you want to remember, you can jot it down. Now, I use an app on my phone called Note Everything. So if I'm listening in the car to a podcast on Stitcher.com and I go, oh, wow, that was really cool, I can take my phone and go to Note Everything. It's right on the front page of my phone and record a quick little voice snippet. So I can say it's, you know, blah, blah, blah.com or whatever they said, some website that I want to check out later. Because inevitably, if I go, oh, man, I'm going to have to write that down when I get out of the car, I'll forget. And so I mentioned again, in terms of notepadding it, you know, the tagging feature in Google Reader is how I basically, you know, note that down. I have a label in my Gmail that is called listener feedback. So if somebody sends me an email or a voicemail, I can flag that as listener feedback. So it's a way to note everything, to red flag things that, hey, this is good content. And then obviously I should mention in the car, you know, that is something I do not text in my car, and I have those types of things set up. Like I said, I do any kind of notepadding in my car with my voice. I do not, I don't understand people that think it's safe to text and drive. Please do not do that. The best content, speaking of what are you going to flag as great content, is evergreen. Now, an example of this is, it's not time sensitive. So for instance, this episode, you know, how to find time to podcast, is evergreen. It's not tied to any kind of event or time. Whereas if I was talking about the new Roland R-05 recorder that I'm recording into right now, that wouldn't be new a year from now, which we'll be talking about in a future episode of the podcast, which we'll be talking about here in a second. So if you can find evergreen stuff, that is gold. And it's also, that doesn't mean you shouldn't have things that are time sensitive, because sometimes, because it is time sensitive, it'll come up in Google searches because everybody's looking for that. So, but evergreen content is great as well. Number five, create an empty show. Now, what I mean by this is if you're doing a live podcast, and I talk about this at the School of Podcasting, there's two different ways to podcast. One is live, where you mix in your sound effects and your music as you do this. Or you can do what I call post-production, which is how this podcast is created. I'm actually recording this right now, and I'll mix in all the music and hoo-ha stuff later. Whatever it is, in PodProducer, you can, and you can find that at podproducer.net, you can go in and set your intro and outro music and any sound effects that you're going to use and all that, and you can save that configuration. So the next time you go to record, you just load that configuration, and you save yourself the time of going, okay, where's the intro, where's the outro, where's this, where's the bell, you know, all that. You save that way. Same thing with if you're using Audacity. You know, anything that you can have your intro and your outro there, anything that's going to be in the show, you can have it already saved in the project and then just move it around. So all you have to do is drag your intro over, let it play, and then import or record your, you know, your meat of your podcast, your episode content, and then drag over your outro and export away. It's good to go. So you, anything that you can record in advance is always good, like your intro, your outro, and just have it there. I mean, I've been using the same intro for years, basically. I changed it once, but it's basically the same. And when I load the School of Podcasting, it's the intro's right there, and I've got that outro music, and the bell is waiting for me, and I just simply drag in this file that I'm talking right now in the middle and drag everything together and export it. It's very, very simple. Speaking of simple, that's number six. Keep it simple. The more you add to an episode, the more it takes. This is the reason I don't podcast live. I know right now everybody's talking about Mixlr, mixlr.com. Thanks to Ray over at thepodcasterstudio.com. It's another great podcast about podcasting. He clued me into this on Twitter. I think he's at Podcast Helper on Twitter, if I remember right. I should know that. He says it a bunch on the show, but podcasterstudio.com. I'll put a link to that out in the show notes. He told me about Mixlr. I'm not a big, huge fan of podcasting live. It adds more things to worry about, more things to set up. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just not for me. Maybe it's for you. But if you're spending 45 minutes obsessing on something, or if you're just trying to get something right, or if you're, a lot of times things are fine. I once created a music loop to run under a special episode of one of my podcasts. It ended up taking me 45 minutes to get it just right. And the music lasted on the actual episode less than a minute. So I spent 45 minutes getting 50 seconds worth of audio right. Perfectionism is the enemy of easy podcasting. So I say this in all honesty. It's okay. It's fine. Move on. Let it go. Now, another example I've noticed is if I record first thing Saturday morning, my voice is deeper. You know, say it with me. It's okay. It's fine. I sound a little different. Who cares, right? Another example of keeping things simple. People do interviews over Skype. I've heard different podcasters buying, you know, special mixers so they can do a thing called Mix Minus. In many cases, if you're calling from Skype to a phone line because the other person doesn't have Skype, instead of going through all this Mix Minus stuff, why not just plug your phone into the mixer if you have a smartphone? You know, when you talk, you basically end up talking both into the phone and the microphone, and you split the phone hard right and your microphone hard left. And then later, after you edit it, you save the file as a mono. It's that easy. I have a video on YouTube for this. If you go out to the website there, click on podcast, you'll see I'll actually embed the video right there. But it shows how you can record phone calls very easily. Again, key point, keep things easy. And, you know, with a couple chords from Radio Shack, without all this Mix Minus stuff. Number 7, enjoy the harvest and store for the winter. Here is, I think, a pretty universal truth. Great content seems to be feast or famine. You'll find one day you have 3 articles that would be great episodes. You have some great life experiences that will tie in with your podcast. Everything is just like, wow, I can't wait to tell my you know, community about this. And, you might think, wow, this week's episode is going to be pretty long. I'm going to have to talk about all this stuff. And to this, I want to remind you that for every day there is a ton of articles or a lot of life experiences or whatever you're using to get your content, there will be days when there is none, as in zero, as in crickets, nothing, right? So great content is the staple of great podcasts. So don't blow it all at once. We've talked about this in the past, you know, pacing yourself. If you go, great, I'm going to talk about everything that I found, you're going to find yourself next week back at square one going, oh, I wish I'd kind of saved some of that stuff. Hence, I'm sitting here with a new Roland R-05, and I'm going to talk about it next week. Maybe. I'm not going to blow it all at once. Avoid writing it more than once. I know some people that, you know, they'll store their links in Delicious. They have a separate Google Doc sheet for the co-host, and then they end up putting it all back into WordPress. And to this, I say, if your notes are going to eventually end up in WordPress as show notes, and show notes, again, are basically just where you have a blog post that includes the media, it's kind of a description of the episode, along with any links, things like that. That's basically what I mean when I say show notes. Why not enter them where they're going to end up? Why put them in Delicious and then a Google Doc and then move it all to WordPress? Why not just put your stuff in WordPress? The thing that most people don't realize, this post has been sitting in my website for a couple weeks as I've been working on it. I just save it as a draft, which means the public can't see it. So speaking of this, Today in Podcasting at todayinpodcasting.com, this features myself, Gary Leland from Podcast Pickle, Paul Culligan from paulculligan.com, and Rob Walsh from Podcast 411 was where he started. He's from Wizard Media. He does, used to be Today in iPhone. I think he changed the name of that, but we're going to kick back up Today in Podcasting, and we are using this feature. We basically all have logins for that website, and any links that we're going to be talking about, we put into that episode, and we save it as a draft. We're going to record the podcast, and we're going to upload our media, and anything that we didn't talk about, we'll just erase from that episode, and if it's good and we just ran out of time, we'll start another draft post and put it there and then publish the original one. So, you know, avoid writing it more than once. It's just a hassle. Number 9, be ready to pull the trigger. What I mean by this is set up your studio and leave it. Now I realize sometimes, you know, your studio is in, you know, baby James's bedroom. Well, okay, if that's not an option and you have to tear up and set down every time you want to record, then document it. Take pictures of your mixer, write down your settings, things like that, so you don't have to figure it out every time. You can just say, okay, well, this dial was on about 3 o'clock, and this one was 2 o'clock, and this one was that, and it was slided up to, yeah. That way it takes all the guesswork out of it. Makes setting up and tearing down super duper easy. Number 10, create a stockpile. Now, let's say you're bored and your spouse has gone on to a business trip and you find yourself with extra time. Remember, podcasting is a time-shifted conversation with your community. And if you do have evergreen content where, again, it doesn't tie into any kind of timeline, you can record a bunch of episodes at one time and then release them automatically. And while those releases are going automatically, you're behind the scenes finding more content to put up when those automatic releases stop. Let me give you an example. Marcus Couch, I think I've talked about this before in the podcast. Great guy. He does the Scene Zine Hard Rock and Heavy Metal podcast. You can find that at thescenezine.com. And I'll put a link to that out in the show notes. Let me make sure, you know, I can never remember. Is it The Scene Zine or is it just scenezine.com, Marcus Couch? I think it's The Scene Zine. Survey says it is. Yes, it's thescenezine.com. Now, here's the deal. Marcus moved from Chicago to California, and he knew he was going to be packing, driving, unpacking for a long time. And so what he did was he recorded basically a boatload of shows in advance. And while he was driving to California in his car with no internet access, his show continued to be released without missing a beat. And again, while those shows are being released, you can go out and be searching for more content so that when that great content that you staggered out ends, you've got more great content. Now, the only downside of this is if your audience leaves a voicemail or an email, you're not going to be able to address this on the show because you've already recorded them. You've got a month's worth of show sitting, you know, ready to go. So that's one downside. However, this does not stop you from emailing or, in some cases, I do this, calling back your community member, your audience member, and staying in touch that way. Because that's the key. It's really all about touching. That sounds weird. It's all about touching your audience, but getting in touch with your audience, I guess I should say. And so that would be the only downside. When you have a bunch recorded ahead of time, you know, it's they're not going to hear their voice in their podcast until those are out of the way. So be sure to contact them in whatever fashion they contacted you in. So a couple conclusions here, and then we have a final comment. You know, take the time to focus on your topic. If you can get RSS feeds to blogs and websites and things like that, to get that content coming to you, that's the key. Get that targeted content coming to you so you don't have to go search for it. Be sure to have a voicemail like Google Voice or of course, podcastvoicemail.com to accept content from your community, because a lot of times they will feed you stuff to talk about on the show. It's just much more efficient to surf through a pile of relevant blog posts that have been delivered to you than to go to Google and say, well, I'm going to see what's out there about podcasting. Have your studio ready to go. Build your show notes as you shape the content of the episode. And have anything that can be pre-recorded, whether it be your intro or your outro or anything like that, have all that stuff ready to go. If you have extra time, record extra episodes. There's no rule that says, hey, this week I'm going to record this week's podcast. You know, if you've got, you know, time and things like that, just record a bunch and put them out. Remember that the content is going to come in giant piles, and one minute you may have too much. Be sure to pace that. Don't give it all away. And the next minute you may have none. Pace yourself. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, if after doing this stuff, you still don't have time to podcast, here's a novel idea. Consider making shorter episodes. When I got married and I took on the responsibilities of being a husband and a stepfather, I shaved about 10 minutes off of most of my podcast. Now, what does that mean in reality? 10 minutes of podcast is 40 minutes in life. When you do three or four podcasts, 40 minutes times three, you're looking at, you know, a couple hours there, right? And while I've had people mention that I've had people, when I first started podcasting, say some of my episodes were a little too long, I have never had someone state that they were too short. And by keeping them short, I'm able to consistently put out episodes, which is vital to building your audience. So that's it. That's how I find time to podcast. Number one, I don't watch TV. I don't. I watch The Biggest Loser online. You know, I'm ready to go. My studio is ready to set up. I don't adjust the knobs on my mixer. I have a notepad ready to write down ideas anytime I find one or find something good. I've got all this content coming into me, and I put my notes in WordPress so I don't have to type this stuff twice. Little things mean a lot. It adds up to a lot. Keep in mind, though, it is going to take 4 minutes of prep to create 1 minute of podcast. Now, speaking of creating a podcast, I have a website. It's schoolofpodcasting.com, and you can go out there. I have step-by-step tutorials that'll walk you through the entire process of planning your podcast, picking your topic, setting up your website, picking gear, all that stuff, as well as resources for music, for graphics, all that stuff is out there at theschoolofpodcasting.com. You can sign up for a week. You can sign up for a month. You can sign up for however long you want. It's all there at theschoolofpodcasting.com. And I always kind of joke and say, you know, you could sign up on a Friday and be podcasting by Monday if you've got the time to go through all the material. So the other thing I want to point out, and we're getting ready to kick this off, if you are thinking of starting a podcast and you do not have a website, you do not have any equipment, you really want to start a podcast, but you're not really sure where to start, please, please contact me. It's Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com. Put podcast bootcamp in the subject line. Hint, hint. And I'm looking for folks that are in that because I'm going to be doing a free podcast bootcamp. And I'm only letting 10 people in. So contact me. Or, you know what? Let's just pull back the veil. We're going to do that. Enough with the secrecy. Freepodcastbootcamp.com. First 10 people get in. See you there. And what's the difference between that and the School of Podcasting? The School of Podcasting, you can sign up on Friday and be podcasting by Monday if you had the time to go through all the tutorials. Free Podcast Bootcamp is not the same training that you get at the School of Podcasting. It's going to be live weekly training sessions. And then, you know, it's going to take much longer to have your podcast going. But if you're looking for coaching, and if you've been around me long enough, you know I like to test things. I have a negative comment in iTunes. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes, you can leave a comment. If you like the show, I would love to have a positive one, because I think the first one is still the guy that his first episode that he listened to me was where I was asking for a donation so I could get a Kindle, which was an experiment. If you read my book, More Podcast Money, that's you read how that was an experiment. And this guy's like, what a dingbat, man. I listened to one episode and all I did was beg for money. Well, that was me asking. Free Podcast Bootcamp is me giving. And I'm going to, at the end, just so you know, at the end of the boot camp, you're going to be asked to give a donation. You get to pay me what you think it was worth. And if you don't have a budget and you pay me zero, God bless. Enjoy your knowledge. Go podcast. If you can afford something and you pay me, you know what? That's great too. So if you're interested in that, it's going to start August 1st. And that's going to do it for this episode of the School of Podcasting. Thanks for listening. And until next week, class is dismissed.